Acts chapter number 16. In Acts chapter 16, we have the story of the Macedonian call from Paul. He is going to a little city, a city called Philippi, and he gets there and he's searching for a man whom he may lead to the Lord, who he may give the gospel out to. And as he's there, the first person he finds is Lydia. There's these ladies who are out by the riverside. They're going and they're praying, spending some time with the Lord, and he's able to witness to these people. And Lydia gets saved as the first convert. And during the course of time, he is going into the city and he is talking to the people and preaching. And there comes this damsel that's following them. In verse 16, you see, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation," which is interesting. This lady here is possessed by some sort of spirit, but still giving some sort of truth out right there. It might make you kind of think about some things that some people might say. Verse 18, and this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, "I commend thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out at the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. We'll leave off reading there, but today I'd like to preach on the steps of a successful jailbreak. And it's really a three-part message. I'm only going to give you one today, and so I don't want you to be totally free. We're just going to get partially free this morning, and then you're going to have to go to your own study and get into the Bible and be able to figure out the rest. But I'm just going to be able to give you the first thing here today. And there really are some steps to a successful jailbreak, and we like a good jailbreak. There's movies, there's TV shows. We always cheer. I don't know why. There's something about an American that likes to kind of cheer for the anti-hero. Someone's in prison. We don't want them to be in prison. I don't know why. They were probably there for a good reason. But we're still cheering that somehow they can get out of that place. And if we were in prison, certainly we would want to be able to get out. We would want to be able to be free from the prison that we would find ourselves in. And I think, unfortunately, in the time that we live in, sometimes we feel like we are in a prison in your own life. I don't know if I've ever experienced in Christianity, and I've been around for years, but in my time, and I originally preached this message in 2018, and I could say that then, and even now it's even more, but I see the oppression that we find ourselves in, and the depression oftentimes that Christians find themselves in, and I think, what's going on? Why are we here? And some of us here, you might not find yourself in a physical prison, but maybe today you find yourself in a spiritual prison, and you want out. You don't want to be there anymore. Certainly you would want to be free from those things. And so today we're going to look at the first step of that, and really it takes all these things. There's three things. If you're going to have a cake, you would need every ingredient in the cake to go in there to make a good cake. I don't know much about baking. Some of you ladies might have to help me, but I imagine when you're baking a cake, you need things like eggs, right? Shaking of head, ladies. All right, eggs. We need some eggs. You might need some flour. Might need some sugar. If you don't have the sugar, it's not a cake. I don't know what it would be, but that's like one of the most important parts. And at the very end, you need to put the icing on that thing. If you don't have the icing, then it certainly is not a cake. I don't know, it might be a muffin or something, but you need the icing. And we're talking about good buttercream icing. We don't need any of the other kind of stuff. We need the good stuff on there. But all those things come together and make a wonderful cake. And so this is one of those steps. If you want to be freed from a prison, you want to be freed from that the spiritual oppression you might find yourself in, this step here today will be one of those steps that you will need. You can't skip it. If you do, you don't have the cake. And honestly, this step that we're going to talk about this morning really should be the icing on the cake. This really should be the easiest thing for us to do, although at times I feel like it might be the hardest of the steps to do, but it should be the easiest. And so today I want to talk about this first step is going to be the step of praise. The step of praise. If we go back here to Acts chapter 16 and go to verse number 25. And it says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So the first thing we're going to talk about today is praise. There should be some praise from a Christian. That should be the things that are on our lips all the time. Now, I don't know if it is. I don't know if you were to look and record our conversations, if most of our conversations would be praise or if we'd be filled with other kind of complaining and other things that generally come in there. And I'm not throwing anyone else under the bus. I'm as susceptible to anyone else, especially with the things that are going on. We like to complain. And not only do I like to complain, but I want to find someone else to complain with. And so if I can bring you into my conversation and bring you down to the level that I'm in, instead of me going up to your level, if we could all just get down to my level, then I will feel better. You will feel worse after the conversation, but I will feel better. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. There should be some praise from the lips of God's people. And it should be something that is constantly on our lips. And certainly it was here for Paul and Silas. They were praying at midnight. And they were praising at midnight. And that should be our kind of mindset when we go into this thing. So I'm just going to look at three quick points, just real quickly. Famous last words for any Baptist preacher to utter, but I'll try to be honest this morning. And just look real quick at some things here that might help us understand, okay, what is praise? Because certainly we've done it before, and we might think in our own mind what praise is. And so maybe we're just a little off on what we're thinking, and we're not on board with the way that they were praising, because certainly they got out of jail. The earthquake happened, and they escaped. And we liked the end result. And I would think that you would want that end result this morning. And so we're going to look at just a few things real quickly here. First thing I want you to see down, you can write down as the first point here, is there is a proclamation of praise. There is a proclamation of praise. Go back there to verse number 25. It said, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. But look at this next phrase there. It says, and the prisoners heard them. This wasn't something that they just did, and it was just this very silent, very personal thing that was just for them, and no one else could hear what they were saying. No, the prisoners all around them. It looks like they're kind of in the middle of this prison that's here. I don't know how much access they have to everybody else, but all the other prisoners, they're loud enough that all the other prisoners are hearing them praise God. This is an audible praise. And we don't often like that. I like to praise in my heart. I don't really want you to know about it. I just want to kind of keep it to myself. And at times, I remember younger in the faith, sitting there in a pew, seeing someone get up and get excited about the Lord and think, that's just, you're annoying. I don't want kids, mostly because I was convicted that I didn't want to get up and do that. So if you sat down, it would really make me feel a lot better. Because it's inconvenience for me to have you be worshiping and praising when I'm not willing to get up there for the Lord Jesus Christ and be able to open my mouth. So, but this is audible praise. It's heard. In Psalm 35, verse 28, the Bible says, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. I wonder this morning how often people hear those praises. I mean, if someone was going to look at you, would they say, oh, I see him, he's talking about the Lord all the time and how great the Lord has done things in his life and all the blessings he's given? Or do we just hear the other complaints and everything else that is going on? What are people hearing from my mouth? Is it an audible praise? Well, I know some people say, well, God just knows my heart. God knows that I love him and I don't have to say anything. Well, first, yes, God does know your heart. He knows you're wicked. We just talked about that, or Brother Wells just talked about that. So don't fool yourself there one minute. And second, don't you think God still deserves to have his praises uttered out loud? Even if it's in your heart and he knows your heart, does that stop the worthiness that God has for your praises to exit your lips? I don't think so. I think you still need to have those things out loud. I don't know how loud it was. I don't know if they were screaming at the top of their lungs. I don't know what it was. And sometimes when things are silent, other things seem so much the louder. And especially the time we live in today, you're not going to hear very many praises to the Lord. And so if you were anywhere, if you were at a job site, if you were at work, someplace like that, and you were to utter your mouth, it doesn't even have to be loud to be just blaring. Because there's total silence that's going on. But I will say this, just to give you another verse here, Psalm 98:4. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Maybe it's okay to have a little bit of a loud voice. Be loud for a lot of other things. You know, you turn on the football game, I can be loud. When the ref makes a bad call, I can be loud. But all of a sudden, when it's worshiping the Lord, it's the time in our life where we decide if we're going to be meek and lowly. Meek and quiet. Got to have that meek and quiet spirit. Not any other time, but man, now's the time to go ahead. Come on. Don't you think the Lord sees that? If you were to go to Malachi, we're not going to turn there this morning, and I'm going to quote it incorrectly, so I'm just going to paraphrase it for you. But the Lord's talking to the priest, and he's saying how they've given him, they've polluted the sacrifices they've given to the Lord. He says, look, I know what you would give to the governor. I know what you'd do there. But then you're going to go ahead and give this to me. Come on, Christian. We're going to go ahead and praise the football team. I mean, just think about that for a second. I'm getting away from my notes, which is a scary thing to do, but just think about that for a second. I remember going to a football game, and this was a few years back. Michigan was playing Northern Illinois, I believe, or some team that doesn't even matter. And if you're from Northern Illinois, I apologize. It was something like that. But I remember the quarterback is Denard Robinson, and someone hands him the football, the guy in front. The center hands him the football, and he runs past everybody about a couple yards, and he runs in, and he scores a touchdown, and 115,000 people there in the big house are just going crazy because he ran like 2 yards, and no one touched him, holding a piece of pigskin. I mean, think how God thinks about that. I gave him that ability, and then you're going to praise this guy. And what about me? There should be some praise on the lips of a Christian. And so I wonder at times why we don't praise the Lord. Maybe because the world has certainly kind of given it to us. Hey, that is your religion. That is what you believe. And you're allowed to have those things that you believe. You're allowed to feel the way that you feel. But, you know, there needs to be some sort of separation. And don't do it here. It's a personal thing. And sometimes we do feel that way. It's a personal thing. And we're around other people and we don't necessarily want to be obnoxious. But certainly, is the world obnoxious to us? I mean, come on. You can't go anywhere without things being blared at you, the praises of this world being blared at you. We were the other day, we were just walking down a little city in Kansas, and we're walking down Main Street, and all of a sudden, we're just walking down this place, and here's a speaker, and it's blaring the music. I can't even walk down your sidewalk without you just cramming it down me. Why is it when we have the truth, and we worship the true God, why do we feel like we're the ones? You know what? You had the problem, world, not me. You don't like it? That's your problem. That's not my problem. But certainly, maybe there's times that we do feel that way. Now, Psalm 107, verse 2, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Haven't you been redeemed? Amen? Let's say so. Should be some praises for that. Praise the Lord. No one else can do that for you. The government's not going to do that for you. And they tried to just make it worse. You'd already be in a bad position. They would just make the whole thing worse. I wonder if maybe we don't think it's manly. If you're a man, I don't think it's manly. You know, if I don't want to sit there and sing too loud, that's not very manly. No, that's pretty manly. Hey, look at David. David was a man after God's own heart, and he was a man. He killed a lion with his hands and a bear with his hands, and he sang and played a harp. I would think a harp would be a female instrument if I was going to think of something. But here's David. He's doing something like that. Okay, well, whatever. He's a man. I don't think you would go up to David and you tell him otherwise. He's been dead for many years. You still wouldn't do it. Why do we tell ourselves that? Go ahead and just let it out. If you don't like it, who cares? I want to hear some loud singing. I want to hear loud praises. I'm sure the Lord wants to hear it too. I wonder, are we ashamed? Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Hope I quoted that correctly. You can tell me later. But are we ashamed? Are we ashamed? You know, I'm not ashamed when I go to a place and go to a restaurant and they serve me good food. I'm certainly not ashamed to tell you, hey, I went to Texas Roadhouse yesterday, and the ribeye they gave me that I paid a lot of money for, man, that was a good ribeye. You should really go there. Oh man, those people over there, that business over there, oh man, they're so great. Why is it no time that we have a problem? We can talk about sports teams. We can give praises to a TV show. We can tell other people that all day long, get in conversations about that all day long. But no, we want to say something nice about our Lord. And then the mouths go quiet. Are we ashamed? Are you ashamed this morning? I'm going to tell you, your body feels ashamed and your flesh feels ashamed. And so there is an inclination. I'm not trying to give you a hard time or make fun of you this morning, but there's always the inclination. You always have a little bit of your flesh has some shame towards the Lord Jesus Christ. But you, your heart should not. So are we ashamed? Are those things better than God? The restaurant? The sports team? The TV show? Have they done anything better for you? Certainly not. Certainly not. So why don't we audibly just, hey, praise the Lord. Sometimes it's good to hear that. Praise the Lord. Well, something happened. Well, praise the Lord for that. It's pretty simple. It should be pretty easy. Like I said, this whole sermon should be something that is the easiest thing for us to do, but yet I think at times it is too hard. So I see the proclamation of praise that is here, but I want to see the principle of praise. There's a principle in work here of praise that needs to be. Now, if you look in the situation here, go back to verse number 23. It says here, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging their jailer to keep them safely. Here they are, they've been beat. Verse 24, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in their stocks. Much beating, jailed, can't move or do anything. Now, I know this. If it was me, I would be funned out by the first whip. Okay, I'm done. I don't want to be through with this thing here. I don't want to do this anymore. You don't need to beat me, Mr. Jailer Man. I can call it a day. I want to go home. I know that certainly after getting such a beating, and certainly after finding myself in a situation like that, and think about why is he there in the first place? God told him to go someplace. God told him to do something. So he did it. He freed a girl from being possessed by a devil. And his reward is, how about you get beat and you go to jail for a while? I don't know how much praising I'd really want to do. But what was he doing? He's praising anyway, because that's the principle of praise. God is always worth praising. No matter where you find yourself. So I see the setting. The setting is not the setting where you would want to be to worship. He's not in a church. He's not with a whole bunch of other Christians. It's hard nowadays. There's a whole bunch of books you can buy, and it is a challenge for any sort of song leader to get up here to try to get people to want to worship and get excited about singing God's praises. I always appreciated Pastor John. I appreciate Brother Caleb, Pastor Caleb. Look, they're excited about praising. They're excited about trying to get you to praise the Lord. But it's sad that we need somebody to get up and really try to motivate us. And I need it sometimes. But it's sad. Why do we need the setting? They didn't have the setting. Nowadays, people want to give me the right kind of music. If it's not the thing that's going to make me want to worship, then I'm not going to go. I've heard people say before, you know, I just don't relate to the hymns. Well, first, if you don't relate to the hymns, you need to get saved. All right. In all seriousness, other side of joking about that, it's a heart problem. It's a heart problem. If you love something enough, you can praise it. Going back to Michigan football, seeing the guy go in and score. And all of a sudden the song comes on, Hail to the Victors. Hail, hail to Michigan, the champions of the West, right? Now, how old is that song when Michigan was the West? I mean, I live in Kansas. It took 14 hours to get here. We're still 22 hours from California. That's a long time ago. And 115,000 people, they don't need it jazzed up. They don't need it changed. Marching band gets out there and 115,000 people stand up and they can sing about Michigan. Why? Because they relate to it. Because it's their team and their heart's in it. Why do we need to change those things? Why do we need to make the setting? The setting. Honestly, it's kind of sad and pathetic. When I'm speaking to myself and preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to anyone else this morning. And I see their situation that they find themselves in. Look, what did they have really to praise God about? What did God do for them lately? And if you, well, once again, if we found ourselves in this situation, we'd look at the situation, we'd say, well, I follow the Lord and this happened to me. I don't know if I can praise Him. I don't really feel like it right now. I see the situation that's going on, but they're still praising. But I got a question for you. Which stripe was it when God stopped being good? Was it the first one? Was it the fifth one? Now, I don't know when they stopped. There's many. It says here they laid many stripes upon them. I don't know if they stopped on the 40. I don't know if they kept going. I don't know how many they did. But when did God stop being good? Oh, wait, He never stopped being good. Now, I don't know what you're going through today. What you're going through today is probably a serious thing. It's probably worse than anything I've ever gone through. And I'm sorry for you. If you tell me, I'll pray for you. I'll love you. I'll do whatever I can for you. But God is still good to you. And I think sometimes we look at the situation that we're in and we put ourselves in a prison. You take all the things that are going on in America right now. And I hear so many Christians complain and talk about, oh, the Supreme Court just ruled this way. Now, you guys remember the Andy Griffith Show? I'm gonna get spiritual here for a second, okay? Remember the Andy Griffith Show? And you have Andy and Barney, they'd be sitting there, they're talking in the office, and here comes Otis. When alcoholism was funny, you know, Otis would come in, and he would barely be able to make it to the jail cell, and he'd close that thing himself, and oh, it's funny because he put himself in jail. I think a lot of Christians do that. I think nowadays the devil would be talking to one of his devils. This is what we're gonna do, and here comes the Christian. Flogs themselves. Puts themselves into the jail cell. I was like, I didn't even do anything yet. Why are you there? Why did you put yourself there? Look, is not the Christian who wakes up in a communist China today, is God not so good to them? Look, I don't want bad things to happen to America. I don't. I live here. And I don't plan on leaving. Unless the Lord calls and says otherwise. But man, some things to be thankful for. And if it gets worse, be thankful that you have opportunities to win crowns for being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they were doing in there. The opportunity that's given to you. But I know, I hate things that are going. You read the news, you want to complain about it, you just see how horrible things are going. But praise the Lord. Man, God's still good to us. That we never knew, but at least I knew in America at one time that was great. Some people never even had that in other countries. They're still praising the Lord. It's not your situation that you find yourself in. You know, God is not only worthy of praise when he's bribing you and doing great, wonderful things to you. That's not the only time that He's worthy of praise. He's worthy all the time. And in fact, I know this, if I read my Bible correctly and I see at one time, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. And if that time happens, when I think it happens, you look at the end of the scriptures and you see the time when the Lord is there in His judgment seat and He's judging all the lost sinners and He's going to throw them into a lake of fire. I believe then they're going to fall down and they're going to worship God because God is God. And their next thing that's going to happen to them is an eternity in a lake of fire, but they're still going to praise Him. Why? Because He's still worthy of it. Without getting anything, what we would call good and blessings from Him. Because He is worthy of praise. He's God. You might say, well, I just don't feel like it. Sometimes you come to church. Come on, don't we come to church sometimes and don't feel like praising God? That happens a lot. You're busy with work. Other things are going on. You just drag yourself to church and you're just kind of just getting there the best you can, and you're really not ready and prepared, and you're supposed to get up, and there's, you know, Pastor Caleb with a smile on his face, and you're just like, why are you happy? I'm not happy. My life's going this way. I'm working all day long. Why are we doing this? Okay, I guess we got to praise. Sometimes I don't feel like it. Can I be honest? That's the time you need to praise the Lord. That's the time you need to praise the Lord. Some people say, well, it's not honest prayer. Isn't it? My heart's just not in it. Well, that's a bunch of lies and propaganda. That's when you need to praise the Lord. In Psalm 42:5, the Bible says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? David's cast down. He's not happy. He's going through a hard time. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Still going to praise him. You know, really, praise doesn't mean very much when everything is going great. Look, I might hate you today, and if you come up to me and give me $100, I will sing your praises. If you don't believe so, try it. So it's easy when everything's going great and the Lord's blessing you and everything is wonderful and life is at its fullest and man just showers of blessings from heaven. It's easy to praise the Lord. That's cheap. It's when the bottom drops out and everything's going wrong. But Lord, you are still good to me. That is real praise. That's an opportunity that you have. That's the opportunity that you've been given. So we see the proclamation of praise. It should be audible. People should be able to hear it. I see the principle of praise. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter how bad the news was that you got. The Lord is still worthy to be praised. But I see here the production of praise. And any time that we do anything, it always produces an outcome. If I am to watch TV, it produces an outcome. If I eat too much candy, it produces an outcome. If I sing praises to the Lord, it produces an outcome. I'm just going to look at it real quick at just some of the production of praise, just for us, for Paul himself. You know, Paul here, he's in prison and he's singing praises. And I just got to imagine, really, he's the freest man on earth. I read through the scriptures. You see the book of Philippians. Philippians is my favorite book in the Bible because the theme is joy, and we all want more joy. And I look at a man named Paul, and he's there, and he's waiting to be executed. You know, around his time, I believe Nero was the emperor then, and he used to dip Christians in oil and light them on fire so he could see his garden at night. And those are things that he has to wait for. But no one on earth has more joy than Paul. Why? Because he can still praise God. They're still on his lips. Look, I don't know what you're going through today. I don't like what's going on in America. But guess what? We're here. We're going through it. So let me give you two choices. Go in the prison cell and feel sorry for yourself. Well, praise the Lord God. Those are two choices. And oftentimes we don't like that choice. I don't want to praise God, but really it's going to help me. Look, you know what we need right now? I need, in a time like this, I need the Holy Spirit of God. I need that peace. I need the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we're just looking at just a few places real quick. Go with me to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. And I want you to see just a few things real quick that might help you out with this praising the Lord and being able to have some help from the Holy Spirit of God, because that's what we need. You don't need me this morning. You need the Holy Spirit of God helping you, giving you that peace. But Ephesians in chapter number 5, we're going to see a principle of praise that's here. Ephesians 5. And go down to verse number 18. And be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, the sentence does not stop there, does it? The verse stops there, but the sentence does not stop there. We do see a semicolon at the end of there, which tells us that the next things that are coming up have to talk about the first clause. And so what's the next thing there? Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? You need to have this melody in your heart at all times. All the things that come, all these verses that come next, these three verses that come next, are all about being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You'll see, I'm trying to find it again, I lost my place here, but you'll look here, And you'll see in verse number 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, there's that thankful and that praising going together. Christian, we need to be thankful. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? You want that peace that you need right now? You need the Holy Spirit of God? You better be praising Him. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and go down to verse number 7. Bible says there, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We need that peace of God. But how do we get that thing there? You notice there's an and to start the sentence. We'll go back up to number 4. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord, always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, that the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. You want to move the Holy Spirit again? We see rejoicing. We see being thankful. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 6. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Chapter number 5. There's not a 6. If you got it there, then you got something different going on. I apologize for that. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Go down verse number 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now what's the next verse say? Quench not the Spirit. You see this thing showing up? You want to have the Holy Spirit of God. You want that peace. You need that. You don't just want it. You need that. You want to get through this time? You want to get through the prisons that are ahead? You need the Holy Spirit of God. You need to be praising Him. Well, let's go back to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. So there's production in you. You need to be praising the Lord. If you have any real want to be able to get out of that funk that you find yourself in, to be able to escape that prison you need for yourself, you need to be able to praise Him. But it doesn't just affect you. It's going to affect others around you. That's how great this praise is to the Lord. Go to verse number 25 again. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. So everybody is free in the whole prison. Verse number 27, and the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners have been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Look, if I was in a prison back then, they don't have the FBI. They don't have photos. They don't have the internet. You open that door, I'm out of here. I ain't stopping for nobody. This is free. No one's going to catch me. They don't know who I am. They're not putting a picture of me on the evening news. I'm getting out of this place. Earthquake happens. Doors fly open. This is the chance, man. Let's go. They all stayed. You know what? All those men heard something in prison they never heard before. They've heard the moaning. The new guy gets in there, there's moaning. There's crying. Calling out for mama. There's tears. There might be vain people yelling out to their God that's never helped them or did one thing out for them ever in life. But all of a sudden at midnight, there is coming a day when no heartache shall come. The next song. When peace like a river. Next song. Thank God I'm free. What do you think of singing Thank God I'm Free about here in prison, man? Never heard him this wise before. What is this? How can these people be beat? They're put in the worst part of the prison and they're singing. I've never heard singing before in a place like this. You know what this world needs? They need Christians who are going to praise God. Do you know what my lost neighbor is doing? Complaining about the government and things that are going on in America. So an unsaved pastor next door complains about the government and things that are going on in America. Well, I guess my God's any different than his God. Because that didn't give me a single other reason to praise. There's power in that praise. In Psalm 40, verse 3, the Bible says here, and he hath put a new song a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You don't need the old stuff put to new words. You need any of that. That mess, that junk. You don't need anything the world has to offer. You need a new song. New praises that are coming out of your mouth. And people are going to say, why is he praising? He's just gone through all this stuff there. Why would he do that? Because the Lord's good to me. And I'm more free than anyone else in this prison that's outside. I'm more free than my captors. I'm more free than the people that whip me. I want that. And the effect that it has. How about on God? He did cause the earthquake, didn't he? It moved God. You know what I need sometimes? I need to move God. I need him to move my life. And sometimes we'll sit there, we'll pray. Maybe there's even some fasting going on. And there's some pleading out to the Lord to touch something and the Lord doesn't move. Maybe if we try to add a little bit of praise to that. I mean, Paul was a complete package here. The Lord got him out of that thing. And he did not lack any of these things. And this one we're talking about specifically on praise. Look, maybe you've tried a lot of things in your life. Maybe you've been faithful to church. You're faithful to your Bible reading. You're faithful to some prayer. Why don't you try being faithful in praise? Look, if the only time God ever does, I praise the Lord, is when he does good for me. What's his motivation? Does the Lord need my praise? I'm a nobody. You're a nobody. We're all nobodies. He doesn't need us. And the only time he gets it is because I just got you something nice. Here's your new nice shiny thing. Hey, thanks, Dad. Let me go play with this. That's it. Why am I going to help you? No, but my boys are appreciated for stuff, and they're thankful, and I want to give them things. Oh, let's go get ice cream. Let's go together. Let's work on this together. Maybe if we do that a little more. Look, if I could just kind of wrap this thing up here. Look, praising God really is for us when we get together and we're praising the Lord. Sometimes it's not really just showing God how good he is, because the Lord's good no matter what. If you're not going to open your mouth, you're not going to praise the Lord, and you will never say anything, the Lord is still good. And that truth will never change, no matter how you feel about it and the situation that you're going through in your life. That truth will never change. But I tell you what, if you can be praising God, that shows you how you're doing with the Lord. If I can't open my mouth, then the problem's not the Lord. If I don't want to and it's just not in my heart, the problem's not with God. The problem comes back to me. So let me ask you today, how are you doing today? If you were in jail, if you were in a spiritual jail today, and the only requirement for you getting out of jail was praising God, am I going to be busy either? Are you getting out? That's the question I have for you. Really, it is shameful and sinful that we don't praise God more than we do. And for myself, having to get up here and preach this to you and preach it to myself, it is sad that I need this reminder. Because God is so good. Even if he never saved my soul and sent his son to die for me, he'd be so good. But the Lord is so good to you. We've been on Wednesday night, we've been going over some things in our New Testament, kind of show people what the Lord does for you. And I was going over things, what happens when you get saved. You know, when you get saved, you get forgiveness of sins. And no one can change that. Do you know when you were saved, you were redeemed from the curse of the law, and you don't have to worry about hell? Do you know when you were redeemed, you were reconciled to God? You were once aliens with the Lord, but now you're reconciled, and you can have a relationship with him? Don't you know that you've been sanctified by the Lord? And the Bible talks about such were some of you. You used to be murderers and liars and all these things, and such were some of you. But you are washed, you are sanctified. When the Lord sees me, he doesn't see that anymore. He sees the righteousness of his own son. Don't we have it good? Then why can't we praise him? Today, how are you doing? Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this reminder that you've given us. Lord, you are so good. You are worth praising every step of the way. Lord, forgive me for times that I don't. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us all just get what you'd want from this message. Lord, if there are those who are going through some sort of valley, they find themselves in some sort of spiritual jail, Lord, I pray that you would speak to them today. Lord, that you would just give them something from this message that is going to help them. Lord, we don't need to be there. We put ourselves there because we feel sorry for ourselves and everything else that's going on, Lord, but we need you. So, Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us this morning. And I ask and pray these things in Jesus Christ's holy, most precious name. Amen.